All right, we're live again. G'day guys, it's Alex and Jacob from the Tripod, and like we do every week, we break down every game, every single NRL game from a betting perspective. Obviously, this week's a little bit different. It's rep round, so no NRL this week, but we'll still be breaking down every single game of the rep round, and we'll do a quick NRL health check. Just go through, run through all the 16 NRL teams, see who we're buying, see who we're selling.
Just Papawadi style, just a quick pulse check on the league, get our finger on the pulse, that's going to be good. And yeah, like even though we've got no NRL this week, it's actually still a rip around. There's a bunch of quality games. We've got quality test matches that we're really excited about.
Yep.
I'm conscious that that the closet is open behind us. I feel like we'll close that closet.
Close that shit.
Before people start thinking
yeah,
about
get rid of that.
Out of there or something.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, we'll run through the four games, obviously the international tests, and then obviously City Country as well. But it's gonna be a good week. You've got Friday, Saturday and Sunday matches this week, so
and the thing is, almost always what happens in the mid-season test is that Australia wins comfortably and it's not really a good test, and that's because the Kiwis just don't have the depth that the Aussies do, obviously nowhere near the pool to kind of grab players from, and invariably there's always a few blokes injured and things like that.
Yep.
And just seems like we've always got a mismatch, but not this time around.
Not this year. So let's kick into it. So Friday
Anzac Test, lads.
Anzac Test, Friday, 8 o'clock, we've got Australia -7.5 points. Hosting New Zealand, and the total hovering around 35.5, 36.5 points.
Yeah, it's going to be a beauty, really. I'm really excited for this one. So
me
down
too.
In Canberra, I think it's going to be bloody cold.
It's going to
and
be
I think
chilly.
That kind of levels things out for the Kiwis as well. I think playing at night and playing
9 degrees.
Cold. Yeah, and, you know, those blokes come from a cold country as well. So I think that that's already, you know, one factor that is, you know, if anything, in their favour. I think this people have, you know, hyped it up a bit, but I think within reason, it is probably the strongest Kiwi side that I've seen them name for a long time. I mean, the only guy who I see that I think they're missing is Warrior Hargraves. I think other than that, I think the fact that you do have the Warriors spine.
Exactly,
The 6, 7 and 9, all from the Warriors, you know, has four and does enough to deserve that spot. The thing is, who else could have got that jersey?
Yeah, that's it. But from a chemistry standpoint as well, just playing
absolutely
together week in
and
week out.
And then you add those other weapons, like look no further than Jordan Rapana, who we've been saying for
best
2 years is a superstar. The secret's well and truly out. Everyone knows it. He is a freak. And you look at the Aussie back line, you know, I like to compare, this is kind of how we handicap, but compare the back lines, compare the halves, compare the forwards, and just see who's got an edge. Honestly, the Kiwis can match the Aussies in the back line, you know, like, okay, there's experience there, blokes like Boyd, Ferguson, Dugan have been there before, but they're no more match winners than guys like Tuivasa-Sheck and Rapana at this point in their career. You know, you got Kronk, who honestly, as awesome as he is, and we love Cooper Kronk to death, has not been that great this year.
No.
I really haven't seen him been, you know, sensational this year. JT coming off a calf injury. So I really think that, like, you know, the Kiwis can match the Aussies there. And then a look to the forward pack. I mean, as I said, I think to start Adam Blair in the front row, I think, you know, is a bit of a weakness, as much as Blair does a job. And, you know, the back row of the Aussies is very solid with a bloke like Boyd Cordner.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what has Trent Merrin done to deserve this spot?
It's
and you look at who's lining up at number 13 for the Kiwis is Taumalolo, absolute beast.
Absolute monster. Yeah, I'm totally the same page. And we did give out New Zealand +4.5 as the best bet in the group in the first half. Because we do see this one, you know, being a tight arm wrestle sort of game early on, especially in cold conditions, it tends to be a little bit lower scoring. But I'm going to run this by you as well. It seems like a really, really low total. Looked at the weather, it's going to be totally fine. It is going to be chilly, but no wind, no rain, and you've got a 35.5 total. Especially with this New Zealand spine, we've got match winners there. You know, obviously, you've got Foran and Johnson in the halves, you've got Rapana, he can score. So I've found the New Zealand team total at 12.5, over 12.5. That seems awfully low. It's 14.5 on other sides. I think that's a decent wager.
It's too damn low.
It's too low.
It's too damn low.
It's too low. I agree with you. So I think New Zealand is the side here. Don't think that just because Australia pretty much wins year after year that you're going to lay the 7.5 and they're going to roll here. I think the New Zealand has named a really good roster.
I know. It's like you're mentally conditioned to think, oh, Australia wins this
roll.
Game and they always win and they're always a bit too good. But and people are hyping up the Kiwi team and they want to build the hype and say it. But when you look closely into it, I really am not seeing too many Aussie players that are really setting the league on fire. I think absolutely right. I think the Kiwis can score with them. I think they know that they're, you know, going to be in this matchup to their eyelids. And I think we grabbed +4.5, which you can't get anymore. It's like I don't even know if you can get plus four. I think it's plus three and a half now. In the first half. And the logic there was that they can absolutely match it with them, but the class of the Aussies may come over the top of them, as we seem to say every week. And, you know, you'd be glad to have that plus 4.5 in the first half. You just, if you're level or if you're leading, you obviously win. But even if you're down by, an unconverted try, you win that bet. But the more I think about it, I wish that we grabbed plus 8.5 for the match too. Now, let me ask you this. Who do you think wins this match?
I think Australia probably wins in the tight one.
Yeah.
But I'd be happy to have 8.5 in my pocket if we did grab that one. Going back to your first half as well, we grabbed 4.5 in the first half, plus 4.5. It's not there anymore. But a decent wager as well is New Zealand just to win the first half. You're getting about $2.80 on that, which is a really high price. And I mean, you know, you're sacrificing, you know, 80 cents as opposed to $1.90 line. And you really only, it can land on two or be level after halftime. So that's a pretty good wager as well. And if it's tied at halftime, you get your money back.
I'm looking at a lot of different options there. Like, we'll probably release more bets, but we should say that's why you want to be in our group. Our group, our group is called Tripod NRL Tips Forum. So we gave out a pick already, as we said, plus 4.5. If you've got that, you've got a juicy number there. We gave out a tip in the City Country match. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, you're right. I mean, gun to my head, this is the thing some people don't understand. They ask you, who do you think's going to win? And yeah, guns in my head, honestly, maybe Australia gets up by 1 or 2 points. I could even see this landing as a draw. I think it's that even, honestly. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to be betting on this match, I'm betting on New Zealand. I've got a yellow tripod shirt, but I wore my black and white tripod shirt
tonight.
Good
on you, mate.
Because I think New Zealand at over $3, or I haven't looked too close to what you can get for New Zealand's 1 to 12, because I don't see the Kiwis blowing the Aussies out. But I think the Kiwis are just red hot value here. I think this is just the best, one of the best test matches. I will hype it up. And sometimes you hype up a match and then, you know, Australia wins the game 24-4 or something. But I don't see it. I think we've just got a hell of a fight on our hands.
Yeah,
like, we'll look closer. We'll find the best value. We might give out a bonus pick with the Kiwis to win this thing, because if you think they can win 45% of the time, but you're getting odds that are over $3 reflecting that they'd win, you know, 30% of the time, you can make money. So,
yeah, exactly.
I think that that's also a great pick.
Because, yeah, betting's all about probability. And yes, we say that Australia will most likely win this game, but the odds don't reflect that, you know. So it's all about value, and New Zealand's the value pick for this one. Moving on, we got Saturday, two games on Saturday. We got Tonga -8.5 points against Fiji. And no totals out yet. They tend to have less markets on these other smaller test matches.
Yeah, speaking of less markets, there is a game at like 3 in the arvo, Cook Islands versus PNG.
Yeah, we looked at that.
There's no odds out for it yet. I mean, there's about 5 NRL players in the Cook Islands side, about 2 in the PNG side.
Like 3, yeah.
I know that the PNG side's got mostly all the Q Cup boys, and I think it'll be really entertaining to watch. And maybe for new and more information, we could maybe give out a pick. But the thing is, we don't try and, you know, reach too far.
Oh, that's it. Like, you know, and with sports, you know, you want to bet on everything. But at the end of the day, you know, you want to bet on stuff that you know about. And we know a shitload about NRL. There's not that many NRL players in that game. And Nene McDonald just pulled out as well, so that's even one less. So we don't want to waste our money or sort of reach for bets when we don't know.
Nor do we pretend to know about stuff. But if you are in our group, we do have blokes that are experts on literally everything. Speaking of that, I was able to text a good mate, good friend of the pod, I think a former assistant coach at Ipswich Jets,
Ipswich Brothers Rugby
League, and he's given me a bit of info on the Super League boys, because we don't follow Super League as closely when we get to the England Samoa. But Tonga Fiji, this is going to be a classic
game.
This
is a cracker.
Now, when look at the lineups for this one, I love the Tonga forward pack. I think it's just absolutely beastly. I think it's too good. I think, you know, Leilani Lati's actually been one of Penrith's decent performers. Adam Fanua-Blake is a beast. And I think, you know, that back row. Tony Williams came out and actually had a good game for the Sharks on the weekend. Joe Fungoe. So, and I think that even the back line for Tonga is too good. Now, I don't have a pick on this game yet. The line is -8.5. My reason I don't have a pick yet is because I have not seen the way Fiji's going to line up. I've only seen their squad. And they've got a bunch of good outside backs in there. Yeah. I mean, look no further than Vunivalu. Scores for fun. He's an absolute freak.
I looked at the lineups, and be careful with this one, guys, because, you know, Fiji and England, they've named their rosters, but they've just got them in alphabetical order if you go to NRL.com. So you have a look at it and you think, Jesus Christ, Sam Burgess is starting at fullback. No, obviously, he won't be starting at fullback. But I looked at the Fiji lineup, I scrolled down, I said, fuck me, they're starting Vunivalu on the bench.
Yeah, I was like, thinking, I looked Jesus at the Christ. Fiji lineup, Wonga Blake at fullback. I thought, didn't know Wonga Blake plays fullback, but yeah, he could be.
Yeah.
Kane Evans on the wing. I thought, is I know, there another
there's
Kane
something
Evans?
Dodgy here.
So yeah, then, and that, I would like to see how they're lining up, but I just don't see the forwards that can match it for Fiji. I really don't. So I know that we think that Fijian players are absolute beasts and that the Fijians are catching 8.5. It should be an automatic play. To me, it looks like Tonga wins this game.
Definitely.
If you can get Tonga at around $1.40, that's what I'm leaning at the moment, that you might take them straight up to win this. I think their forwards will just be too much. And, you know, a bloke like Tui Lalahea in the halves, he is a star that hasn't had the opportunity to excel yet.
And plus, on top of that, Lola here, we loved him. Well, you know, back when he was playing with the Warriors, he hasn't had that much game time at all. But a little bit, you want to look at these games not only from a roster standpoint, and I do think Tonga's roster is far superior to Fiji, but also from a motivational standpoint. And for someone like Lola here, he's just asked for a release from the Warriors, obviously not playing there at all. So he's going to be shopped around to a few other clubs. This is a good game to step up
showcase.
And showcase game to you know, get a decent contract, you know, whether it be this year or next, depending on whether they release him. So I think he'll have a good game. He's playing with Hingano in the halves, and they play together obviously at the Warriors as well. You got a bunch of Warriors in there. It always helps when you've got a few guys from your club playing with you as well, just from a chemistry
could
standpoint.
Could be the last time
well,
we see, like, you know, Vadivai. Although, I mean, a bit of a precursor to the World Cup this year as well, so.
Yeah, definitely.
It's exciting.
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a cracking game.
Sounds like we both like Tonga in that
one. Like Tonga, but, I mean, I'm wary on laying 8.5 points. It is always a lot, and we don't lay, you know, 6 or more points very often in the NRL. Saturday late game. This will be a cracker as well. We've got England -6.5 points against Samoa. No total out for this one either.
Yeah, and this will be a cracker for sure.
This is
going
to be a good one.
I mean, England played really well, and we're right there against the Kiwis in the Four Nations, because I think Scotland was in there over the summer last year. But they weren't quite good enough against New Zealand. They definitely weren't good enough against the Aussies. I didn't know this, but as I said, got mates and we've got blokes in the group that are experts on Super League. So the Super
League.
We're
not, unfortunately.
No, we can't count.
There's only so many hours in the day to watch sport.
There is, and
there's not enough hours to watch Super
League. A lot watching NRL, don't worry about that. But did you know that the English side couldn't pick their strongest side because the Super League clubs had a cry and there's only so many players per team they could pick? So So they've actually had like a quota per club that they could pick, so they can't even pick their strongest side. Obviously, we'd have got injured, you know, that throws a spanner, because even watching England play every Test match last year, he steers that team. He really he is a true leader.
And I mean,
that team.
You did see how much the Dragons suffered without him, you know.
No, you really did. So, you know, as much as I'll admit that I don't know expert on the English side, although, you know, watch them play Test matches, I look at that Samoa side. It's absolutely brimming with NRL talent.
Yeah, it is.
I love the Samoan forward pack. I mean, look at that forward pack. I think Cassiano's a beast.
Big,
I mean, he's
boys
getting
in the forward pack.
I'm a huge fan of Junior Paulo. He's more than just a big monster. He is fit. He is like one of the best front rowers in the whole NRL. And that back row, Sione Mataitea is a stud. You know, he's been made captain at the Knights. Tuasa Sue's an unknown back rower from Tigers, who's actually a real gun.
Yep.
And Josh Maguire, who's played for Australia. This is the lock there, and they've got other blokes on the bench. So I love that back line. And speaking of kind of a guy that doesn't necessarily shine every week in the halves, but could really stand out in this, is the MILF.
Yes.
You know, the MILF. Yep. It's one thing for him to... He has to kind of rein it in playing in a structured Broncos team. He can kind of really star in this and get some good pill. So I just love the Samoan side. Now, my issue is maybe their fitness, maybe they get too pumped up, and I could see England kind of being too clinical for them second half, so definitely looking around to play the Samoans in the first half. But the more I look at it, +6.5
it's
is
a
key
number. Yeah, exactly. And unless we can get 4 for the first half, it's probably worth playing
the whole
game. And
I've seen +3.
You know?
If you could get +4, I'd absolutely love it. It'd be all over that, like a rash.
So if you see +4 on Samoa for the first half, the problem is there's limited markets on these ones, you know, so you might have to wait until, you know, Friday Friday night or something for them to release more markets on it. So definitely be checking your betting apps for that one. Yeah, but I totally agree. I really like the Samoa lineup. +6.5 is probably too many points.
And if you like them +6.5, maybe you just take them to win too, because, you know, if they're close enough, then once again, you can nearly triple your money. And, you know, maybe we could just speak about the fact that these odds only came out today. There's like limited markets. And that's because the bookies, like us, they don't really know either. I mean, mm-hmm. when was the last time anyone saw Samoa play a meaningful rugby league test match? We, you know, it's an unknown commodity. Yep. And the same thing for this English side, you know, that they haven't been able to pick their strongest side. They've had to travel. They only mm-hmm. arrive in Australia 6 days before, you know. That's not going to be an advantage as well. But yeah. I mean, I know they're not turning up for a holiday, but at the same time, everyone's fighting for World Cup jerseys, sure. But at the same time, it's not ideal preparation, whereas the Samoan players all play NRL.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
So yeah, just love the Samoans, but yeah, it's an interesting one for the bookies. They're all kind of looking at each other, waiting. They don't want to release a wrong number and then get smashed. And I think this number is too high.
I think so as well. And yeah, you're right. I mean, they may have even like reduced limits on it or something like that. But yeah, I reckon you even just play the +6.5. I think they've just hung it a bit too high. And unless we're missing something, you know, the Samoan side is, you're right, stacked with NRL talent. And yes, we don't know, you know, everyone in depth from the England roster. But we do know a few guys in there, and they're not, you know, superstars,
and
that's for sure.
It would be remiss of us to not mention international BJ.
Yes, true.
They've
absolute
got BJ
monster
out in the centres as well. We're talking about, we like, you know, MILF in the halves, we like the forward pack.
Saturday BJ. Go get it.
Never had it.
All right. Lastly, on the Sunday, we got City Country. We got City +1.5 to 2.5 points and 46.5 to total.
Yeah, but I have seen some of these games blow out
as
well.
Yes, I know. Seems high, but
you know, they call it an Origin trial, but it's like there's clubs that have come out and said they don't want their players playing in this game.
Yep.
Is it really, you know, an Origin trial? Let me ask you this. Do you know who Jaime Sele is? Have you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Are they trialling Bryce Cartwright for the halves? Is that what's happening here?
So the starting lock forward for the City team, I had to click on his profile to learn that he played for the Dragons. Shouldn't have to do that in a rep round. You know, I swear, we follow NRL more than 99% of the general public. We've never heard of the guy before, so I mean, I don't know what that says about us, but I don't know what it says about this City team.
Yeah.
Now, looking at the teams, to me, I see the City side has a better back line, and the Country side has quite a significantly better forward pack, you know? So then you kind of say, well, the halves can really dictate this one, and I look no further than to see Bryce Cartwright starting in the halves with City.
Debacle.
That doesn't work. We've spoken about that every week.
Yeah.
And you look at, well, who's the seven? He's going to have a lot more responsibility. It's Chad Townsend.
And he's not a playmaker.
No, he's not. He's kind of like a wingman at
right.
best. I understand they've got Nathan Cleary on the bench, and there's going to be a few Panthers connections there. But still, I think the other factor here is that, you know, being the last game, I believe, in the City Country series.
Yep.
I don't know, are they giving it a break next year?
I think I've heard.
It's just, it means more to Country. They're the home side, and, you know, they're the side that, and also playing for revenge, right?
Bloody oath, yeah, playing for revenge. I mean, they lost by, 14 points last year. You know, they don't forget that kind of thing. And I look through the history, and it seems like it does, you know, sort of go one win, one loss, that sort of thing. And revenge is a real thing in these kinds of games, you know. Country just tends to be a bit more prideful with this one. It means more to them. Plus, I actually think the halves, in all honesty, are better for the Country side as well. You know, Cody Walker has absolutely been killing it for the Rabbits. Roberts isn't too bad. And then you've got Bryce Cartwright, which is an absolute debacle in the halves. We saw what he can do in the halves, you know, against the Eels.
And
he doesn't deserve to be
playing rep footy either. On form.
On form,
no. What has he done?
Well, plus he's only played like a few games this year. So, I think that's a bad pick there. And especially, you know, with such a high total, there's going to be a lot of points scored, they expect. And you want good halves when it's a high total. You know, some playmakers in the halves.
If you think that, like, revenge doesn't matter and they're all professionals, I mean, we haven't seen many NRL teams play twice this year, but let's take last weekend, you had Manly, who lost
Rabbits
by 20 to the Bunnies. Did they get revenge? They fucking wiped the floor with them, you know? And it is a real thing. The Country team remembers that. They're going to put in a great performance. We know we're getting great performance as a Country. We've already played them at $1.85 to win. So basically, you know, nearly double your money for them to win. Now that's more like $1.70. So once again, a great reason to follow in the group.
Yeah, exactly. And we got them for $1.85 just to win, which is obviously great because they can win by 1 point and still win your bet. But make sure you shop around if you are going to take Country, because I've seen -2.5 and -1.5. And, you know, obviously if you guys bet, you know that is a massive difference, grabbing -1.5 to -2.5, because 2 is a very, very common number. that the outcome lands on an NRL, and you know that'll determine when you whether you win or lose your bet.
Don't forget that this game can end as a draw too, and then you know if you've taken minus a line, you've lost.
Yeah, exactly.
If,
right.
If you might have taken minus 1.5 or minus 2.5, you're thinking, all right, I need him to win by a try and golden point. There is no golden point, so
yep,
you can get burned by that as well. So we love our bet on country.
That's it.
So that rounds out rep round. We want to do a pulse check, as we said. We want to zoom through. I don't know how we're doing for time, but I'm feeling. We may have gone over. We're excited about this round. We've been killing our bets this year. We've given out nearly 100 bets on the NRL, all 50-50, and we have won 65 and only lost 31. So we're winning at more than 66% clip, so, like, I mean, more than 2 out of 3.
That's right. And, yeah, and we always like to put it in perspective, because most of your average punters, you know, maybe you're putting $100 on a bet. And it is tough to win money betting on sport, that's for sure. But if you put $100 on every single one of our bets, you know, for the year in the NRL, you'd be up about $3,000 and you would have never been down, you know. And likewise, for a bloody, if you're putting, there's people in our group that are putting $5,000-$10,000 bets on. If you're throwing on $1,000, you know, a bet, that's 30 grand. Tell me what sort of job.
And it doesn't matter whether you're chucking $10 on a game or 10 grand.
That's right.
Some people in our group are. You prefer to win than to lose.
Bloody oath.
Jump in our group and look at some of the monster bets that are getting put down. But blokes are having a win on all sports. Speaking of that, we've got a 100K challenge. So you want to join
the second one of the
year. To get in that. So that's going to be no cost to enter. We're going to have a huge kitty. We were talking about it before. You know, it could easily be over $3,000 shared amongst the boys, and then we put up our picks, not just us, we're going to pick our best picks of the week, but we've got experts on AFL, experts on soccer, experts on basketball, putting up their picks, the group decides, and we lay the whole money on, we roll it over till we get to the promised land.
Yeah, so, and if we do get to the 100K, then everyone gets a slice of the pie. So
and Origin tickets, totally $500 cash. Yep. We got $500 bonus bets and stuff, and that's guaranteed that we are giving them away to people who join.
That's it. So yeah, nothing to lose, everything to gain. So join the group. The link is obviously in the post. But let's get to the pulse check.
It's been a really enjoyable 9 weeks of the NRL.
Yeah, we're
so far.
Over a third of the way through.
Some
so it's been a cracker of a year.
And also some things that we did call if you went back and watched us, you know, before round one.
Yeah,
but
that's all right,
this is just going to be our quick. Kind of thoughts, are we buying, selling or holding stock on each of the 16 teams? Are we seeing any value?
Yeah, that's it. So let's just go in I guess opposite order to the ladder. We'll start with the Knights.
They will get the wooden spoon. They just don't have enough depth, and but if anything, they do put in effort every week. We've got a best bet against them in round 10. We've taken the Raiders minus 11.5. That's already moved to 12.5 or 13.5. Purely because of depth, and because they're playing a Raiders team that's, you know, just filthy off a couple of losses. So it's going to be a long season for the Knights, but they do give you effort.
Yeah, it's going to be a really long season for the Knights. Look, you know, we do like to bet on them, and we did a few times at the start of the year, and we did have some success. Look, I'm going to be looking to try and bet against them when we get to the part of the season where they're completely out of it. It's a bit demoralising. Every game they play, they know they're not in the finals hunt anymore. That's where I'll look for them to pretty much fall off a cliff. Number 15, Panthers.
I have not given up on the Panthers.
No, me
okay,
neither.
Like we're playing
close. I'll
yeah,
tell
we're
you.
Playing against them sparingly. We won betting money on the Panthers on Thursday night against the Broncos because we took them in the second half. Mm-hmm. We took them +4. In fact, they won the second half, and that was a glimpse at what they can do.
Yeah.
The roster is there. I still believe the roster is there to do a job if they play, you know, to their ability. We're going to have to wait and see. They've got a tough match next round against Warriors. They are this close to honestly like missing the eight.
Yes.
But there are a team that could rattle off some wins, so we just got. I'm going to hold my Warriors.
Yeah,
my Panthers stock.
Yeah, I'm going to hold it as well. I think that second half, you know, is that just a second half? It can happen like that, you know. That's they're a confidence team, as we've seen. And is that a half where they just, you know, get a roll on after that? They have the talent for it. It's just, you know, I need to see something from them before I can.
And one word, Mansells.
Yes, maybe it is.
He could lift them.
Yeah, that's it. The Tigers.
I'm going to hold my Tigers stock too. I thought it was a pretty guts effort after beating the Bulldogs when everyone wrote them off. It was a guts effort to be right there against the Sharkies. I mean, they lost Aaron Woods and they lost Tedesco in the first half, and they end up losing by 6 points on a Townsend chip and chase. Talented side. If they try their best every week, they honestly can hang with anyone.
Yeah, I'm actually buying some Tigers stock. I think that first third of the season was just full of turmoil for them. No one really knew where they were going. Now they've finally sorted it out. If you can call them a Big Four, the Big Four know where they're going to be going next year, but they're all going to be playing out the season. So I think, you know, from their standpoint, they'll want to put in a good performance to finish off the season because, you know, they don't want to look like shit going to their new clubs. So I think they put in effort.
Can I make one request?
Pretty much, please.
Can we never call him the Big Four on this pod again? Yeah, Has anyone watched Luke Brooks play lately? He's not big anything.
No.
He needs bigger hands so he can pick the fucking ball up from dummy half and pass to someone.
Yeah, he's absolutely garbage. 13, the Rabbits.
I'm going to hold my Rabbit stock too, okay? Don't throw them in the fire.
Are you fucking Warren Buffett? You're fucking holding everything, mate.
I want to diversify, and this Rabbits team isn't completely, you know, defunct of talent. They just ran up against a really quality Manly side that was out for revenge. Let's see how they go next week.
Yep.
And I think they're not going to make the eight, but you know, Adam Reynolds is still a good player. He's kind of been injury plagued. When they do get all the troops on the park, they can still hang with teams. I think there's value on them.
Yeah, they're just going to miss the eight. For me, we'll still be looking to bet on them, but only when Adam Reynolds is playing. I think he means a shitload to that team. When he's out, you know, they really do suffer. So, number 12, the Titans.
I might have to sell Titans stock because everyone else wants to buy
it. Yeah, they do, don't they? There's a lot of hype.
Big wins, yeah. I mean, awesome win down at Shark Park, and we were on that one.
Perfect spot for
them. And then they blew
one.
Out the Knights, which is also a great spot for them at home. They had to have that one.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Hayne has played the house down, and I understand that Pete's come back, but just be careful as well. Looks to me like Pete's will get that sky blue jersey, and then all of a sudden, they're going to be skinny again.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going out of my way to bet on the Titans yet.
Nah, me neither. I think, yeah, you're right. They have become, you know, from probably an appropriately rated side that everyone thought, look, is fairly talentless, but they do fight hard every week. You know, after a couple of wins now, everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. But, you know, we need to hold back a second here. You know, that's probably roster-wise a bottom six roster in the comp. So I'm not rushing to the window to bet Titans, especially after two big wins. The Warriors, 11.
Can I buy more Warriors stock?
Yeah,
I love the Warriors.
Load up!
Okay, we talked about value. The Warriors, I said this about 4 weeks ago, that I saw that mentality change in that team. They were losing, I think, 18-4, 22-4 at halftime to the Titans. Won the second half 18-0. The next week beat the Eels. Nobody really seemed to blink. But the Eels are a good team, as we've found out since then. Then they went down to Canberra. They were right in that game for an hour. They played the Storm. They were right in that game for probably 70 minutes. You know, and those are the two toughest places to play in the whole NRL.
Yep.
And then they played a Roosters team. They defended like I have not seen the Warriors defend maybe ever. And yeah, I mean, it's a lucky win in the end. It could have gone either way. Obviously, the penalty call, no one maybe is saying it's wrong, but it's lucky.
Yeah, sure.
But look, this is the value play I'm going to give out. I've already said Warriors can make the grand final at 15-1. Warriors to make top four at $9, okay? $9. They are only, I think, two wins behind second on the comp, okay? And then I'm looking at those teams that are in the top four. We'll talk about them next.
Two wins behind second?
I think they've got
Melbourne's actually two wins ahead.
Yeah, so honestly, it's so open. The Warriors don't lose anyone in the origin period. They could really race up the ladder, but what I would wait for the Anzac test. You just don't want any key stars getting injured just after you've made that bet.
And
but if they get through that one, Warriors $9 to make the top four.
That's
honestly
good shit.
I love that one.
Yeah, and they do have a lot of players playing over the weekend, the Warriors do. So yeah, certainly keep an eye out for that one. But the thing is with those futures markets, the bookies hardly ever adjust them quickly enough while the games are going on. They leave them up there pretty much throughout the weekend. So if the Warriors get through the weekend and they don't get any serious injuries, honestly, this side, they're always pretty up and down. But as we've seen over the past number of weeks, they've put in good performance after good performance against really good teams. I mean, the Raiders, the Storm,
probably
the Roosters.
Teams I just mentioned.
That's basically, you know, the top four, you know, talent-wise, I reckon. So I think they're going to make the top eight, definitely. I'll be looking to bet on the Warriors moving forward. The Raiders.
Absolutely still a contender, okay?
Definitely.
And we said that we're going to play them minus 11.5, and they probably will absolutely roll the Knights after a couple of losses. Couldn't quite understand it, watching them play the Dogs. Like, I mean, James Graham went out, Reynolds went out, the Raiders got up 10-4, and you thought that they'd win by 20, and then the second half they were held scoreless, but I'm not willing to give up on them yet. I think Shannon Boy got injured, Papali has a 1-week suspension, but once they get all the troops back on deck, they're as good as any team in the comp. Still think they could honestly make a charge up the ladder. Still probably a top four side in the comp.
Yeah, definitely looking to bet on the Raiders. Obviously, after a disappointing performance against the Bulldogs, that's why we took them against the Knights. I think they're definitely a top six team. They'll be in the top eight come the end of the year. And their ladder position is not reflecting on their talent level. So they'll be there come the end of the year. The Cowboys, not.
I'm going to sell Cowboys stock. I think it's just going to be a long year for him. I think Granville was actually kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, actually. They could have withstood a Thurston injury, but then not once Granville went out. And also the fact that Coote was out and Matty Scott. And then I'll talk about the Origin, the rep period again. It starts now with rep footy and then obviously move into Origin. Then they're going to lose key guys again. It's going to be absolutely tough sledding for this Cowboys side. When fully healthy, as good as anyone in the comp, they're not fully healthy. Yeah, it's just going to be, like, honestly, I think touch and go if the Cows will get in the eight.
Yeah, I know, it's going to be a tricky one, obviously. Once they have all the troops back, which who knows if they're even going to come a time where they get everyone back this year. You know, they're obviously contenders, they're a top four side in the comp. But the problem is, they've been missing, you know, a bunch of their key guys. Now they're outside of the eight, and they're going to be missing a bunch of key guys in the next 6 to 8 weeks as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a tricky one. I'm going to be... The problem is, it's like, when everyone's out from the Cowboys, the line does move accordingly. It might even move too much, you know? So, it's tough. Some of those Cowboys games were probably better
off
just
staying away from them
as well.
I mean, we took the Cowboys down in St. George. We said it was our favourite bet of the round, plus 10 or something, and they lost by 6.
Yeah.
But they were down 24, but then we've also gone against them too, so it's situational.
Yeah, that's right. The Bulldogs at 8.
I want to ask you, what are you doing with the Bulldogs? Yeah. Wearing the blue? Have you come around?
No, I haven't come around, mate. I still do.
Have you been watching every week?
Yes, I have been watching the Bulldogs. Yes, they can defend. You're absolutely right. But, you know, in this day and age in the NRL, you see what teams, you know, are doing, you know, doing well. And the teams that did well, let's say last year as well, you know, you have teams like the Raiders and teams like the Sharks. You know, they're explosive teams. They can put on points. You've got fast wingers. You've got playmakers. The Bulldogs don't have that, and I think, you know, going into the finals, you need to be able to just, you know, be able to bloody score points. And I know defense, you know, they say wins championships, but this team, it is an absolute struggle in offense for me. And I think, you know, it's not going to get any better in the halves there for them. You know, Mbai is still pretty terrible. I honestly don't think they're making the eight. There's too many teams underneath them that'll jump them, I think.
Yeah, you might be right. They may not hang on to their top eight position, but they can defend like anybody's business. They're a great team to bet on the unders.
Definitely.
And they're tougher than people realise.
Stone cold
under
10.
Don't bet against them. I'm going to hold my spot on the Bulldogs bandwagon. I'm here on my own.
You're holding a lot of stock.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone wants to.
You're like a majority owner.
I'll save you a seat. I'll see if you get on.
All right. The Eels, number 7.
So 4 weeks ago, everyone was like, what's wrong with the Eels? They've lost 4 in a row. And I said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. All their opposition were hot on the day. Since then, I think 3 straight wins for the Eels, and including winning by 20 on Friday night, you know, in Townsville. It's a good team. It's a top 8 team. Once Bevan French gets back, they're even better.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like fringe contender if things went their way.
Yeah, they've got the roster. I think it's a top 8 roster for sure. And I mean, yeah, they did have a rough couple of weeks where they lost 4 on the trot. But I think, you know, roster-wise, if they can stay healthy, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to say contender, but I think they're assuming to make the 8 if they stay healthy. The Seagulls at number 6.
I would go as far to say this team is a fringe contender too. I think we've said like Terry has taken his game to the next level, getting closer to being worth the money he's paid, which is always a good thing if your players can be even close to what you pay them. In this case, $10 million.
Yeah,
The back line's gone well. Trbojevic brothers are killing it. They can defend just like some of the other elite sides can. They won down in Canberra and then they demolished Bunnies. We said it from the start of the year, we think there's value on the Seagulls. I think if anything, obviously the secret's kind of out, but if anything, there's still a little bit of value. I think they can hang with anyone.
Yeah, I think I'm probably just holding my Seagulls stock. Yeah, they were underrated definitely at the start of the year. You know, everyone was down on Cherry from last year. You know, didn't know how Blake Green was going to slot in there in the halves because he's just... you know, pretty solid, but they didn't know who was going to be the playmaker there. So, I mean, I think I'm holding my Seagulls stock because I think that, you know, they might have become pretty much appropriately rated now. You know, they're obviously sitting in the top 8. They've had a couple of really good wins. So I'm not going to be looking at betting on them too much, but it obviously all depends on situational spots, like you said. Roosters at number 5.
Really surprised. I'm surprised they didn't win on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always know how they're going to back up from like an Epic Anzac Day clash and to have to travel across the dish, but they showed up to play, especially the fact that...
It's a good game.
The fact that Tupou, you know, got sent in the bin, they were losing 8-2 and everything like that. The Warriors had their, you know, ears pricked up. You know, that game could have easily gotten ugly and the Roosters wrestled it the whole way back. If Boyd Cordner, I don't know what he does in their, you know, their training drills, the whole draw and pass. If anyone had ever taught Boyd Cordner how to draw and pass, they score a try into the post and they win that game. He just shat the bed at the worst possible time. Yes, they kick a field goal, but then they give the penalty.
He could have closed his eyes and thrown it left or right. It would have been a try.
But look, I'm buying Rooster stock. Absolutely a side that can still win the comp. Yeah, it absolutely can make the grand final. I think some people maybe, you know, saw them only win by one against St. George, saw them lose to New Zealand. They lost a couple weeks ago as well. Like, who did they lose to? Like, lost to Manly a few weeks back.
Yeah, we were on Manly in that one as well. So
people kind of aren't realising that this Roosters team is a juggernaut.
Yeah, I'm holding all my Roosters stock. We did buy a shitload at the start of the year. Obviously, we had them, you know, over 11.5 wins for the season, and that's looking really good. But we've said right from the start of the year, we think this team is a contender. My feelings haven't changed throughout the season. I think they're still well in the top four, you know, roster-wise. I think they can contend for a premiership this year. So I'll still be looking to bet on the Roosters. I think they're just a juggernaut team. The Broncos, number four.
And this is kind of the whole crux of how we handicap. We actually want to buy stock in the teams everyone's writing off, and we start to, you know, sell stock in the teams that have gotten too high. Selling my Broncos stock.
Yeah.
Too many players that will be playing rep footy in this team. They're going to have a really tough few months ahead. I'll be betting against them more often than I bet on them.
Yeah, definitely. And they're going to lose a few people during Origin, like you said. And that does hurt them during the Origin period. And, you know, they've got a few good pieces there. But I thought the Broncos were a little bit overrated anyway throughout the season. So especially, you know, during this Origin period, I think they're going to be doing well to be in the eight come the end of the season, honestly. The Sharks at number three.
I think they'll be doing well to be in the eight come the end of the season. I think they only got over the Tigers because they lost Teddy and they lost Woods. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Titans the week before. The Sharks are going to have heaps of blokes playing rep footy, you know, blokes like Jack Bird, Valentine Holmes, Wade Graham, Maloney, Fifita, straight into rep teams. That's going to really hurt them. Yeah, they won't win too many games in the middle of the year.
Yeah, I picked the Sharks not to make the eight at the start of the season. Obviously, that doesn't look too great now, but I still do think that the Sharks are sitting higher on the ladder than they should be, that's for sure. Like you said, they do miss a bunch of people. I think, you know, the Sharkies also, just because they did win last year, I think every team kind of gets up a little bit more to play them, so that's going to hurt them as well. But I think... Yeah, you said it. I think they're going to be lucky to scrape into the eight. I just think that they're not the same team they were last year. And I'm definitely going to be looking to bet against the Sharkies in coming weeks because, especially after a few good results, people have jumped right back on the Sharkies bandwagon. So, surprising here, the Dragons still sitting at number two.
If they make the eight, it's because of the amount of games they've won so far. They are going to really struggle as well. We saw it. We bet against them with the Storm. Just missing Widdup, it hurts so much. They're not really a deep team either. And, you know, straight away, guys like Frizzell and Dugan, who are so important to them, will play rep footy too. So it really depends how quickly they can get Widdup back at full strength. I think they will... If they make the eight, it's going to be around between 6th to 8th position. I think they will drop a few matches and I'm going to sell my Dragon stock that I bought heaps of at the start of the year. Bought it nice and cheap. Sell it off quickly. It's obviously starting to drop down now.
You've got to leave some profit for the others.
Yeah, we sold before the Storm game.
Yeah, that's it. So Widdup hurts immensely, and he was having a career year, but it was on the back of really good go forward in the forwards, and you just saw that just isn't enough. You know, you need some playmakers in there. The Dragons are going to struggle to win, you know, 50% of their games moving forward, I would say.
And speaking of good go-forward, Jack DeBell and Paul Vaughan, both Smokies for Origin 2, and if they make it, it hurts the Dragons even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, the Storm. They're just always there, aren't they?
Yeah, and now that everyone's healthy, it probably is just about the best, definitely, I think the best back line in the comp. And even, I think, the fact that they've got Jesse Bromwich back and Tohu Harris to come, the forward pack is very solid and can hang with anyone. It's the most disciplined side. It's the best coach side in the comp. Probably the best team in the comp right now. But everyone else knows that. Everyone else feels the same way. So
exactly.
You don't really get rich betting on the Storm too often, although we did bet on them last week and we did get up
easily yep.
even with the late Dragons charge. So I didn't have much Storm stock because there was never value in it.
Yeah.
Not really rushing out to buy any either.
No, I'm not going to be buying any. I'm probably just going to be holding it. I think they're... You know, it's Storm one of those teams, like you said, the public absolutely loves betting on them. They have a good following down there, and you just hate betting on those really public teams. And we, you know, we said, you know, we've been saying this for years that we're like, oh, that spine is just getting slower, you know, getting older every year, obviously, but on a slight decline. But the thing is, you know, along with that, they've picked up guys like, you know, speedsters like Adokar, and they just pick up these wingers like Vunivalu. And that just adds to their team, you know. It doesn't matter how
those two are fucking sensational.
It's ridiculous.
And
like,
Billy is back. Honestly, yeah. I'm willing. I was skeptical, especially with the shoulder. He wasn't willing to play round one. I thought maybe the shoulder's never right. He's got the shoulder right. He's fit as a fiddle.
Yeah.
He should be in the Origin team, and that's going to hurt him too. Rep footy, you know, the whole spine is almost, you know, going to get a rep jersey. That obviously, as we've said, hurts through the middle rounds, but yeah, it's a quality side.
It is, yeah, and they're just well drilled, well coached. You know, that spine doesn't have to do an awful lot. They just steer around the park and let the bloody centres and wingers, you know, do the rest. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw the pop up there. I'm over my data.
Jesus Christ!
I need to get back on the neighbour's Wi-Fi, but anyway, there's no
it's
value
the
in that.
Second of the month, mate.
Oh no! Yeah, but.
What have you been doing?
You can't... Standard definition doesn't do it for me anymore. You've got to go high definition.
Jesus Christ. That will do it for this week, guys. Join the group. The link is in the post. We've obviously got 100K challenge going on. Win a shitload of prizes. We're going to have $50 giveaways, like always, throughout the weekend.
Origin tickets, cash, and all of our finalized picks on these games. All right, good luck, lads.
See you next week.
Legal.